This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello, old dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is Ask Bill. And this is our monthly Fun Fact Friday Ask Bill episode, where I answer specific real estate investing questions received during the month from emails, in-person conversations, phone calls, or through online portals such as BiggerPockets and Quora. One of our goals here at Old Dogs REI Network is to help to educate, enlighten fellow real estate investors, to share what knowledge I have here by answering your questions, and to help other investors to broaden their understanding of real estate investing and to hopefully avoid some of the mistakes that can cost you later. Well, we've got some great questions today on getting started after 50, and then even a question on getting started after 70, and other things such as how to retire in 5 years, how to increase cash flow, and how to accelerate mortgage pay downs. Good stuff, right? But before we get started, I just want to give you a couple of quick announcements and sort of a shout out to you guys out there just to say, hey, man, how are you doing? I hope you're moving forward with your real estate investing goals. I know lots of you are getting ready to do it, haven't quite made the jump yet, but I've got a couple of questions here from people that have done that. So I think that's going to be interesting for you. I've got some sort of a little cold here, so if it sounds like this old dog is getting older, that's true. But my voice is definitely not full on par, so maybe I should have had some lemon, you know, like hot lemon tea or something. I don't know. Nonetheless, just a couple of quick things. I'm still looking, and I mentioned last Fun Fact Friday, we're looking for folks that have been doing Airbnb. And if you want to share your Airbnb success story or your challenge stories, we would love to talk to you. And I'm talking about actually interviewing you on the show. And we might have a number of people, maybe short interviews. If you are interested, write to me at bill@olddogsreinetwork.com. That's bill@olddogsreinetwork.com. Of course, old dog spelled D-A-W-G, right? And tell me your Airbnb story, good, bad, or ugly. You never know, you might get on the show. Hey, that rhymes. Anyway, just a couple of quick announcements. We're moving forward with a lot of the things we've been talking about. We're really focusing a lot on rehab and optimization of our existing properties, repositioning in some cases, increasing rents, doing some nice rehabs to bump the rents even higher on those empty units we've got, and have just met with some great success in that area. We talked about a little bit on how to get higher than market rents. And I'm going to be, you know, talking more about it, that in the future. Also, we've just, we have a couple of projects that are really close to happening here. We're actually going to contract on one and 60 plus units. If you are one of those that might be interested in maybe partnering with us and or investing in a project like that, I can't give you any details yet. And that's part of the issue is there's a couple of different SEC types of approaches you can do. You can do some with just accredited investors, or you can do some with sophisticated investors. If we choose to go the sophisticated investor side, we really can't promote the particular project on the air. So if you are interested in investing in any of these projects, the best way to do it is to register for our investment newsletter. And you can do that if you get our newsletter, a regular newsletter. But at the bottom of that, it says how to register for the investment newsletter. If you don't get our newsletter, then you can just go to ManaceroProperties.com. Manassero spelled M-A-N-A-S-S-E-R-O, and then properties.com, and you can register for it there. Well, let's move on to our questions today. The first one is for a couple that is interested in retiring in 5 years. And this one is from Elizabeth. And she says, "Hi, Bill. Thanks so much for your informative website." You're welcome. Thank you for listening. "You didn't start investing till you were in your 50s is particularly inspiring because my husband and I are turning 51 this year. We started investing in 2017 and own a quad in Kansas City, Missouri, and a single family home in Indianapolis. The properties are doing okay, but if we want to meet our goal of being work optional in 5 years, we need a strategy. Please forgive if I am overstepping, but I listened to your podcast number 254, and for those of you that don't know it by its numbers, that is an episode on how to retire in 5 years, and have a few questions for you. No pressure to answer. I know you're busy. First question is, would you be willing to share where those $50,000 single family homes in Indy are?" And I mentioned that in the podcast. "Ours is in Cumberland. It's a section of Indianapolis, and was $100,000 and has been vacant since we bought it 3 months ago. Not good. Number two, my husband and I have a good amount of money in our 401ks, but right now we're assuming we can't access this money until we retire. Don't you have to be self-employed to have a self-directed IRA? Number three, are there any financial advisors who specialize in real estate that you can recommend? Any and all advice would be greatly appreciated. Thanks so much for reading. Best, Elizabeth." Well, Elizabeth, let's tackle these questions sort of one by one, okay? First of all, I would just want to thank you for listening. You're not overstepping your bounds by asking these questions. In fact, that's how us real estate investors learn, by asking lots of questions, including yours truly. It just so happens for me, I get to ask a lot of questions every Monday when I have guests on my podcast. So I love asking questions, and you do learn a lot by doing that. Well, first, congratulations to you and your husband for jumping in feet first to real estate investing. You're about to embark on an exciting journey that will yield great rewards if you can remain diligent, unrelenting, and not let the little stuff, and I might add the big stuff, get to you. I know a lot of people get discouraged because they hit some tough times or some tough goes in their investing, but what's most important is that you just keep on plowing through. So, by the way, Kansas City and Indy are great markets, so you've done well in picking your markets. You should be able to find some great properties in both places. Regarding becoming financially independent in 5 years, it's definitely possible, but you need to understand it takes hard work and care, okay? Some strategic planning and execution. You also have to be very deliberate and have a firm strategy in place. In other words, you really got to stay focused and work hard at it, okay? Don't just buy any property. It has to meet your criteria, and it also has to fit in with the part of your overall strategy. In other words, for example, if you find houses that you really like, but they only cash flow for 200 and your plan calls for you getting a property that cash flows at 400, it will directly impact your timeline and you may not reach your goal when you originally planned. Don't veer from your strategy. That's the way it can happen for a 5-year plan, and you really have to stay focused. So on to your specific questions. You talked about $50,000. Where did I find the $50,000 houses in Indy? Well, first off, there are a lot of them in Indy. And I just did and she mentions also hers is in Cumberland, was $100,000 and has been vacant since they bought it 3 months ago. Okay, so let's talk about the $50,000 houses. I just did a simple search on realtor.com, and on two homes, in other words, three bedroom, two baths in Indianapolis, 50K and under. And I got 37 homes that just popped up, boom. And that's, again, just in Indianapolis, and that's on market stuff, okay? What you might want to do, though, I think it's better, is to connect with people that can get you off-market deals. Now, you can do direct mailing. You can do other things to find off-market. It's a little bit time-consuming, but sometimes it's better to hook up with people that are like wholesalers or flippers in the area and others that have access to off-market properties in that area. And I could definitely connect you with a few people that I know that I think might be good. So if you want to write me back on that, I'll be happy to send those names to you. Also, on the home in Cumberland, you paid $100K for and have been waiting 3 months for a tenant. I don't know exactly where the home is located in Cumberland, but there are some really great neighborhoods there and some nice houses. So if it's been sitting there for 3 months, that's a property management problem. You need a new property manager. And that really is another discussion all in itself. But I would seriously think about saying goodbye to whoever that person is that's supposed to be putting tenants in there. A couple more points, too. There are a lot of other good places besides Indy that you can find 50K houses, places like Ohio, Georgia, Tennessee, West Virginia, Arkansas, Missouri, Alabama, and more. And what you want to do is, you know, to target in those places is look for the areas that have the highest rents. So, you know, we usually work on at least the 1% rule, which means if you have a $100,000 home, you should be able to get $1,000 dollars a month rent. So you might want to consider sort of expanding to other markets as well if Indy doesn't have what you're looking for. Also, I'd recommend buying more multis instead of single family. If you could get just a little duplex, that will really hedge your bet and it'll accelerate your program even more. They are more cost efficient, have better economies of scale, and they're really best for long-term holds. If you're looking at these properties to sustain you in your retirement, you don't want to have a big hit like having a vacancy in a single family home, you know, that you could be losing whatever, $800 or $1,000 a month. You don't want to look at losing that while your property is vacant. Whereas with a single, with a duplex, you've got at least, you know, 50% of the rent coming in. Okay, let me get on to your second question where you talked about your 401ks. Now, I'm not a 401k expert, but I'm pretty sure you can convert your regular 401k into a solo 401k, even if you still have a W-2 job. But, okay, I want you to check that out, and I'm going to give you a way to do that in just a second. But with solo 401ks, you have a very high amount you can contribute to it. You can also invest within your account, just like you can with a self-directed IRA. And since you're doing this all for your retirement, you really don't have to touch the account until you're 59 and a half. The point of the plan of, you know, getting to financial independence in 5 years is that you really want to sort of create a snowball effect here where your properties are, you're adding more and more properties, the rents, you're taking the rents and plowing it back into your account so that you can buy more properties, and you can, you know, you're building up equity and a lot of different things that are happening at the same time. So in the meantime, you know, when you buy a property within it, all your rents have to go back into it. You're not allowed to actually take that rental income yourself. So that would go right back into your account. It would really start adding up, especially as you have more and more accounts that you've purchased within your 401k. More and more properties that, it would just start growing really fast. You'd have money to buy more properties and, you could move forward more with your plan. So you can kind of see how the snowball effect would occur within that account. So as I mentioned, I'm not an expert, but I did have an expert on one of my shows. His name was Dmitry Formanchenko from Sense Financial. And that was episode 131. You might want to listen if you haven't. And I know he'd be more than happy to give you a free consultation, especially if you tell him you're an old dog. And he'll be able to tell you, you know, what you can do with that 401k, or if you can open up another retirement or what other options there might be for you. You may find that the 401k could be end up being one of the best tools for your strategy. And finally, your last question, are there any financial advisors who specialize in real estate that you can recommend? I'm really not 100% sure what you mean by financial advisors, because that can come into a lot of, it could be somebody that's coaching, maybe a CPA that works with real estate investors, or maybe a CFP, certified financial planner that directs clients to invest in real estate. I do know people in both of those areas, but I'm not exactly sure what you mean there. So if you could just write me back, that would be great. And maybe I can zero in a little bit better on somebody that I think might work well with you. Well, I hope that helps you out, Elizabeth. And if you have any more questions on it, of course, you can just write, and I'll be happy to fill in there. Let's go on to question number two. And this one came from Wendy. I've just started listening, so if you've already covered this, please point me to the proper podcast. Should those of us around 70 who are in retirement already have a few properties ever take out loans to leverage them? We're very uncomfortable to do it at our age and in our physical conditions. The only two rentals we would leverage are both in SoCal, an Orange County condo in which we only owe $96,000, in a single-family home in North San Diego County, in which we owe $169,000. We've got a handful of mobiles in NorCal. I assume those are mobile homes. I don't know if you own a mobile home park, but you say mobiles in NorCal. But most of our IRA money is in notes. A single family in the Phoenix area where we live, in a couple of local crowdfunded multis. We tried to sell the condo, but the market in California is not good right now. So after 3 months, we pulled it off the market and got another renter in on an 18-month lease. Our home's paid for, and we're not going to touch it. The SoCal home we were hoping someday to either move into or use the cash to buy another home for us. Laguna Beach has been like a second home for decades, which is why nearly all our property is in California. Unfortunately, we've had a long-standing serious medical condition with our son's family, so we need a decent influx of cash. Thank you. Wendy, thanks for listening to our podcast again and for your great question. Yes, leveraging properties at 70 and above will create debt that you don't want to carry into your 80s. Your strategy now should be the opposite. In other words, you should focus on increasing cash flow and accelerating your loan payoffs. I'll talk more about that in just a second. The two properties you have in SoCal are invaluable. You are definitely right. Now is not a good time to sell here. Prices are on the decline. The place you were talking about in Laguna Beach sounds like a great place. It's real close by to me, right next door here. So I think that that'd be a wonderful place to retire to. You are better off, though, I just think, drawing income from the rentals that you have in SoCal, paying down the loans, and waiting through the recession. And if you want to sell, well, then, you know, wait till prices come back up. But I would say hold on to those and let them continue to provide cash flow to you through this time period. Now, if prices really go down in the recession, I would say, yeah, you'd want to buy. But the problem is you're not going to get top dollar right now. You might still get some good prices for those. And if you wanted to put the cash away and then try to buy something when prices are low, that'd be a good strategy. I just think that you're so close to paying them off. I think they could be a good steady source of income. Rental demand is strong down here. You're going to get high rents. You should be getting high rents. And so I think those are good properties to hold on to. In the meantime, so while you're renting those out, you're going to be generating some great cash flow during that time period. So here are some of my suggestions for you. I mentioned that you want to try to do two things, is increase your cash flow and accelerate your loan payoffs. So I'm going to try to give you some tips on both. Okay, so first, let's talk about increasing cash flow. I had a podcast episode 070, and again, all these podcasts I'm talking about here, there'll be links to if you go to our show notes. You just click on them and you can listen to the podcast. That show was entitled 12 Ways to Increase Your Rental Property Cash Flow. I offered a number of tips on increasing cash flow. Many of the points, they may apply more to apartment owners, but some could be applied to maybe your mobile homes and single family homes. So let's just go over some of these. One of them, reduce monthly service expenses. Okay, so by seeking competitive bids on services you already use, start asking for competitive bids for some of your common monthly services, such as trash pickup, lawn, landscaping, pest control, things like that. Another, offer improvements for rent increase. So, and this is a kind of interesting strategy. It's worth, you know, 25 more monthly rent to a tenant, for example, to have AC or install a dishwasher or add another inexpensive amenity. Those are some options. Negotiate your property taxes. A lot of people don't realize that they can do this, that you can actually petition for them to reassess your property for taxes. And there are some real great articles out there on how to do this that you can access. We don't have one. We should have one on our website, but we don't. But you could just do a Google search, and there's a sort of a strategic way where you're almost guaranteed to reduce your property tax payment. And then the final one is consider Airbnb. I've done this. It's a great way. I get twice the rents that I get from my regular units that I rent out. You could double, even quadruple your income from your property if you do this right. You could also take like a three-bedroom house or apartment or condo and rent it by the room. Or you could buy the bed in some cases. I've had one guy, Al Williamson, on my show, and I'll have a link to his podcast. And he does this. He actually rents to traveling nurses. And so they don't mind sharing a room with another nurse. You know, they've all got the same kind of occupation and focus. And he actually can rent by the bed, which is really great. You can also do that with student housing. The trick here is to get yourself a property manager so you're not dealing with all the day-to-day stuff. And for Airbnb, maybe a co-host either, or you could have the property manager also handle your Airbnb. And you won't have to worry about all the transition stuff, cleaning the rooms and getting ready for the next one. So let's look at accelerating your loan. On this one, I just want to couch it with the fact that, you know, there's things you have to kind of check before you do this, and you got to check with your mortgage company first. Some companies only accept extra payments at specific times or may charge prepayment penalties. You want to be careful that doesn't happen. Also include a note with your extra payment that you would want to apply it to principal only. You know, I wouldn't also shell out hard-earned cash for a fancy schmancy mortgage accelerator program. You can accomplish the same goal all by yourself by doing some of these things. Something simple like pay an extra $100 a month toward your principal on your payments. Pay half of your regular monthly payment every 2 weeks, or set up a biweekly mortgage payment. These are things you might be able to do with your mortgage company. Make an extra house payment each quarter. So if you just say, for example, you're just going to add just an extra payment at the end of 3 months, you'll pay off your mortgage, probably 11 years earlier on a 30-year loan, and you'll save more than $65,000 in interest. You could refinance your 30-year loan to a 15-year loan. Again, it depends on interest rates and fees and all those things, whether it makes sense. Could pretend you're refinancing. You can finance a longer-term mortgage into a 15-year loan, or if you already have a low interest rate, save on the closing costs of refinance and simply pay on your 30-year mortgage like it's a 15-year mortgage. In other words, you know, increased payments. The same goes for a 15-year mortgage. If you swing it right, you might be able to pay it off in 10 years. You could also just downsize. You imagine you have a big home. You may want to sell that home, okay, so that you can take that money and pay cash for a smaller home, okay, and live much simpler. And then the final one is one that I think would be just a very cool option, and that is either to house hack or apartment hack. Now, house hacking is usually where you either, you know, buy a house and you live in, you know, one part of it and you rent out the other rooms. Or you could, for example, get a duplex or up to a fourplex and rent out the other units, or an apartment hack. You could actually live in one of the units and rent out, you know, the rest of the apartment. This, I think, is better than moving into just a smaller house, okay? Because you can sell your home and move into a house where you will live rent-free and your tenants pay your property taxes, insurance, and all utilities too. You can hire a property manager, and you'll just live there like a tenant. Most people won't even know, if you have it in the name of an LLC, that you even own the building. It's great. I mean, you can live there rent-free, as I mentioned. You don't have to cut lawns, do repairs, worry about the house. Your tenants will pay for everything else. Plus, they'll supply you with a nice monthly paycheck each month that could be enough to just support your living expenses. So those are a few of the options that I have. I hope I answered your question, Wendy. You can always write me back if you have any further questions. Well, folks, that's it for today. Please note, Old Dog listeners, everything presented here today, including the links, and there are a lot of them in this one, they can all be accessed in our detailed show notes on the Old Dogs website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. And just look for the Ask Bill episode, the most recent. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.